the high school group. They call them the squeaks, don't they? Is that the squeak side? Something like that. How many are the seniors? Who are the seniors? If you're a senior, stand up. The senior citizens. You should get a discount at McDonald's. All right, thank you. All right. Who are the seniors in the college? Any senior college? Stand up, I want to see you. All right. Another group of senior citizens. Wow. Great. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, I always like to identify who I'm speaking to as far as age-wise. I know there's high schoolers and college students and so forth. It's a blessing to be here. I've always had a great respect. The college, I think of Fairhaven, I think of a testimony, a legacy of true Christianity. And coming down here, I came down here a few times with my father to hear him preach and be a part of the conference years ago, several times. And just, of course, we've had a good friendship with Brother Ramus, and just getting to know your pastor here and other staff members in the recent years. But to see the love for the Lord, just to see you, watch you sing, and your love for the Lord and your love for souls, to have 320 plus kids on the bus routes on Sunday, that is a love for the lost, and I appreciate that very much. Appreciate the comfortable room there, and I've never stayed in a girl's dorm before, so it was quite an experience. There's elephants above me. I don't know. I walked in the door last night when we came home from work, from church, and I said, Terry, we came in that side door, where we parked our car. I said, somebody parked their broom inside this doorway. I'd like to know whose broom that was, but anyway, I'm just giving you girls a hard time this morning. No, it's been a very pleasant stay. And I went to a small Bible college in Ohio and graduated from there many years ago. And that one of the chapels, they had a hymn sing. And the moderator says, you girls can pick out any hymn that you want. One girl stood up and says, I'll take him, and I'll take him, and I'll take him. Would you like to have a hymn sing today, girls? Somebody want to do that. I shouldn't be picking on the girls today. I'm going to be in trouble. But, we were getting ready to come over here. My wife's so beautiful. I was telling my wife how lovely she is. I'm serious. And I said, honey, we don't talk a lot like this, but I just was admiring her dress and her, she had a blue dress on and she had red socks. I said, of course, they were just her house socks. I said, man, you're red, white, and blue today. You're beautiful. She didn't wear them over to the ladies' meeting. But anyway, I said, honey, I've never had to tell you your dress is too short. I've never had to tell you your dress is too low in the top. I've never had to tell you it was too tight. And that was, it's never been a fuss of mine. There's preachers that I know of that are men that's a problem in their home. They're just always having to, hold their, and my daughters were the same way. I had three daughters and two sons. I never had to tell my sons their dress was too short. They never wore a dress, okay? But my daughters, again, the same way. For it's been a blessing for 44 years that she has been a blessing to my ministry, our ministry together. We've traveled in 30 different countries and pastored now two different churches. We were youth directors for the first 7 years of our marriage and then been pastoring ever since. But, I heard a funny story about this young man that was felt that he was called to preach. And he told his mother, I need to get preaching here because I have a very little time. And he told his mother, he came home and says, Mom, God's called me to preach. She goes, that's wonderful, son, wonderful. And she said, well, preach to me something. She goes, Mom, I haven't been trained. I don't even have a Bible in front of me. She goes, preach anything, just whatever comes to your mind. And so, he started thinking, they lived on this farm. And so she said, go ahead. If you're called to preach, preach. Obey your mother. He said, well, mother, there was a little red hen. And it was out in the barnyard. It was picking seeds over here and picking seeds over there. Grubs over here and grain. And it flew up on the pump handle by the water trough and was drinking the water there from the horse trough. And one little later, a fox came through and ate up the chicken. That's my message. She goes, oh, son, you do need to get trained. You need to go to school. So we went off to Bible school. I don't think it was Fairhaven. I think it was somewhere in the South, because they have a different mode of preaching in the South. He graduates and comes home. He says, Mom, I've graduated. She goes, preach to me something, son. Preach. Would you give me the message? He said, well, Mother, there was a little red hen, and he was out in the barnyard, and he was picking seeds over here and grubs over here, and he flew up on the pump handle and was drinking out of the trough of the water, and a fox came through and ate him up. Better watch out for the old fox. She goes, you can't preach now, can't you? So I don't know if that's your style here or not. I don't think it is, and neither is it mine, but... Let's go to Genesis 24. I really feel like this Lord led in this way this morning. Trying to watch this clock and it keeps sliding around on me. There it goes. One little boy asked a buddy, he goes, what does it mean when the preacher puts his watch up there? He says, it doesn't mean anything at all. But I do know that there's, do you have bells that ring at like quarter of or 10 of? I know I was supposed to be done by 10 minutes. Is there a bell that will ring? I always tell Sunday school teachers, in Sunday school during adult class, we have a bell that rings. They got about 3 minutes to, when the second bell rings, they're supposed to be done. I says, if you get after the second bell, there's a trap door. We've lost a lot of missionaries that way. And so I'm glad there's no bells and there's no trap doors here. But in Genesis chapter 24, Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Look at verse number 10. So the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hands, and he rose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. Then down to verse number 15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, he was praying, that Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, the son of Milcah. And then down in verse number 27, most of you know the story. He said, blessed be the Lord of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master, of his mercy and of his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Let's pray. Father, speak as only you can in these moments that we have with these precious young people. Lord, I pray, bless them and use them. May they get something for their life. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Abraham had a faithful servant, Eliezer. He's named in chapter 15 in verse number 2. And the mission that he had for Eliezer was to go find a wife for his son, Isaac. And of course, Sarah, Isaac's mother, had just passed away. And Abraham was left with Isaac by himself, but his son needed a wife. Knowing that the women of Canaan were wicked, they were idolatrous, they were pagans. He didn't want one of these women for his son to wife. And so he sent Eliezer, the servant, to find one. And he said, I love the phrase, I be in the way the Lord led me. And that's the title of the message. I be in the way the Lord led me. And if you're in the way of the Lord, then God will lead you to your mate. It's not eharmony.com where you find your husband or your wife. It's not findyourmate.com either. It's findgodsperfectwill.prayer. Because Eliezer was praying, and as he was praying, Rebekah shows up. And so there are steps in finding God's will in your life when it comes to even a mate, it comes to a ministry, come to your mission or your whatever, God, your job, your family. So our Lord, our Master, expects us to act as Eliezer did. See, first of all, the Master could trust him. He was the head servant, the elder of all the servants. Didn't mean he was the oldest of all of his servants, but he was the chief head servant, like sort of like as if he would be the chief of staff at the White House. And to be put in a position of honor. And Abraham, being a wealthy man, had a lot to look after. And so he trusted Eliezer with this mission. In God's work, there's too much to look after without, there's God's people, there's properties, there's funds, there's positions, there's responsibility. And if you got to be trusted to be put in a position of leadership in something like that. Some of you, one of these days, you'll all be leaders someplace. You'll be leaders of a home, you'll be leaders of a ministry, you'll be leaders of maybe a mission somewhere, whatever. But you have to be willing to follow God's will and follow instructions. The Lord said this, he that is faithful that it which is least is faithful in much. You be faithful in the little things here in Bible college and God will bless you with much later on. He was not only trusted, but he was willing to follow orders. We won't read those verses in 3 and 4 or 5 again, but in verses number 8 and 9, we didn't read those. He said, if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear of thy oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear concerning this matter. So Abraham gave him the details. Eliezer listened, and he did. And he didn't find a Canaanite. You know, if you're going to marry in God's will, you got to marry within your family. I'm talking about even your faith, your fellowship. If you're a Baptist, you marry a Baptist. You say, well, he's a Southern Baptist. That's not fellowship. You marry with, well, he's a Christian boy, but he goes to another church. That's not your fellowship. You marry within your, he said, marry somebody within our family. And of course, we can get into subject there, but I'm just saying faith, fellowship, you find God's perfect will. I met my wife. She was a grandniece to Carl Lackey. You probably never heard of Carl Lackey. Anybody ever hear of Carl Lackey? He was an unknown preacher in the north, but in the south, he was, well, very much well-known in the south, you know, 30 years ago, he passed away. But he was a mountain preacher from Mount Airy, North Carolina. He had a church of 1,000 people in a town of 350. Just had buses and just evangelized that area. Great preacher. Well, that was Terry's uncle, great uncle. He came to Lansing to preach a revival for my father in 1979. And so he came he brought his choir with him. They had a Greyhound bus, and Terry got on the bus to come up north. She'd never been to Michigan before, so she thought she'd come. She just had graduated from college. I had another year of college. I'd never met her before. And so Carl Lackey, when I came in for lunch that Tuesday, they were feeding the choir. He says, Jim, this is my grandniece. Well, let me go back. He wasn't the most attractive man. And so he told me on Monday, he says, you need to meet my grandniece. I'm thinking, what does Carl Lackey's grandniece look like? And so he introduced the choir that night, and he got down here, this is my grandniece. This is Terry. And I'm thinking, I need to meet his grandniece. I met her on Tuesday. We got married on Friday, a year later. And so we were of the same faith. The same fellowship. That is so important. So important. I don't need to go any deeper there. But the will of God, to find God's will, to know what his master wanted. So he listened to his master. We need to listen to God when it comes to ministry, when it comes to mate, comes to family. However are you going to learn to know God's will without listening to God's word? You know, I thank God for that. Another thing here, he was willing to submit to it. Verse number 9, he put his hand under the thigh. Now, that was an act of submission in Jewish custom. Jacob touched his thigh, and remember, God touched Jacob's thigh, and that was a sign of Jacob submitting to God. And the Jewish custom was, and I don't need to get into all that, but when you submit to God's perfect will, there's a peace that comes. There's a protection that comes. There is a provision that comes. There is a providence that comes. There is the promises of God that will unfold into your life. Now, when I met Terry, we met that week. We just became friends. We were, like falling in love first sight. And I was very attracted to her. Beautiful young lady, loved God, had a heart for God. And so we talked that week. Friday night, the bus was leaving to go back to North Carolina. She was to get back on that bus. I'm thinking, My father kind of saw sparks maybe. I don't know what he saw. But he said, Terry, if you'll stay over the weekend, I'll fly you home on Monday. I thought, that's a great idea. And so on Saturday morning, we went downtown passing out tracts, street preaching. And we sang some songs together. She's a piano player. And my dad said, we need a piano player for the weekend. My mother was our piano player. Again, as I said last night, she had passed away. And so we were really hurting for music. And so Terry stayed. And so we got to know each other, share our hearts together that weekend in ministry and just verses that God had blessed us with. And she told me, says, Jim, I've almost been engaged twice to different men, young men in college. She goes, the next person I tell I love is the one I'm going to marry. So I thought, I guess I'll have to wait. And so I did. And of course, there goes a long story along with that. I'm not going to take time with that, But Eliezer, and I'll come back to that in just a little bit. Eliezer was a true servant, but he could be trusted to submit to God's will for his life. Another thing Eliezer knew how to do, he knew how to pray. In verses 10 through 14, he began to pray there in verse number 12, O Lord God of my master, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. And he begins to pray about some young lady comes up to the well that day, may she be the one that God I'm supposed to take back to Isaac. Notice verse number 7. He's praying down through verse number 14, and it came to pass, verse 15, before he had done speaking, before he was done praying, Rebekah came out. She showed up, and he was so elated that he started out praying, asking God for direction, asking God for God's speed, asking God to show him kindness. And all along, God was leading the right mate into his life to take home for Isaac for his life. I being in the way, the Lord led him all the way. Where it was just blessed to know when you're in God's perfect will, God will bring your perfect mate. God will bring your perfect ministry. God will bring the perfect job or whatever God has for you. Maybe you should be praying more and trusting God more and following those orders and submitting to God's will and praying. And sometimes we don't get an answer. We don't get the answer that we wanted. So we quit praying. When I was in high school back in the 70s, it was very popular to get married the summer after high school. That was what everybody did. I mean, you were 18 years old. I'd be interested in that. But that was the philosophy of that day. And so I had a friend in our church there in Lansing. She had a bus route. I had a bus route. She taught a Sunday school class. I taught a Sunday school class. She's involved in ministry. She's involved with the youth group and so forth. And we were very much encouraged with each other and really engaged to get married upon my graduation. And so I got into college. I was going to commute back and forth to Midwestern Baptist College from Lansing. It was only like an hour trip, so I could stay home and work my ministries. I got in that first semester, and about October, God was working on my heart. I was praying, trying to do God's will and so forth. And so I stopped and I prayed. I says, Lord, we're friends with this girl. We're engaged to get married, and we're not married, of course. But Lord, if she is not the one for me, I want you to draw my heart away So I am so cold that I can't stand to be around her. There was no reason for that. We got along. We were just, everything was just fine. But you know what? Within a month, God answered that prayer. And I thought, this is strange because I couldn't stand to be around her. I didn't want to be around her. I wasn't mean to her. She wasn't mean to me. We never had any fusses or anything like that. But God drew my heart away from her because God knew what I had. I used this illustration at a college I spoke to several years ago. There was a young man sitting next to a girl in chapel. And he says, Brother Green, you've said that. He came to me a year or two later. He says, you said that, and I didn't want to pray that prayer. But I wish I would have because I married wrong. Now we're divorced. You better be careful. You better make sure it's God's perfect will. If it's not, God will show you if it's not. Because God has a sovereign will for your life. He desires to show himself strong for whose heart is perfect toward him. Let me quickly give you, where am I at here? All right, moving along. Well, he knew how to worship. Another thing here. In verse number 26, the man bowed down after everything was revealed. He bowed his head and he worshiped the Lord. And I think he was worshiping when everything was going okay and God was answering his prayers. It's easy to worship then, but there's going to be bad circumstances that will come in your life. There's going to be bad relationships that may come into your life. You want to use that word in bad situations that will, but don't let the bad days dictate your worship. Things were going right in this situation and God was blessing, so he worshiped. But you should worship God when days are not going well. I told you about my sister last night, just a few weeks before she passed away. This is what she's right. Her body was full of cancer. She knew that she was dying. And this is what she said. This is March the 1st. I think she died on March the 26th. She said this. We serve a great Savior who is able to do more than we could ever ask or think. I am so grateful for the Lord's grace and mercy that allowed me to be able to experience a closer walk with Him, to where I have that blessed peace and assurance that He is with me and will be with me until I see His face. And 4 weeks later, she saw His face. The hard times, even in the good times, facing death and cancer and pain, she could worship. Just a thought that here Eliezer was, God was blessing him and it was in answering his prayer. But we should be worshiping God, whether it's good days or bad days, is my thought there. You know, to know verse number 27, we won't read it again. I be in the way the Lord led me. Shows us that God, he was in God's perfect will in his life. He was in God's perfect. I love that verse. I want to live that verse. I want to be where God wants me to be, just to following his master's orders, submitting to God's perfect will, trusting God to lead, and wham, woo, out of nowhere, God brings this person into your life. I told you, Terry said that the next person I tell I love, I'm going to marry. So I remembered that. So months went by. I had one more year of Bible college. She was teaching at Bobby Robinson's church, Gospelite Baptist School there in Walkertown, North Carolina, near where her home was. And she was teaching in that school. Again, I was finishing up my Bible college. And she said, I can't come up to your graduation, but I can come up to your senior banquet. And so she flew up to the senior banquet, and she was there. It just so happened, in God's perfect divine will, my father, whom she didn't know too well, because you know she'd never been to Michigan, and my father was preaching the morning of student day and was preaching at the banquet that night. So my dad's up there preaching. We've got our bulletins in front of us of the program. I sang in the ensemble, and our ensemble was singing. So we sang, and dad's up there preaching. And she grabs she reaches over and gets my program. And she had a red ink pen. I still have the program in my file. She wrote on here, I think I love you. put it back in front of me. I don't know what my dad preached the rest of the night, but those were the words I was looking for. So I thought, but the bothered me in part, I think bothered me. So I asked her later on, I says, you think you love me or do you love me? She goes, I do love you. I says, great. When are we going to get married? She goes, what? I said, you said, told me the next person you said you're going to love is the one you're going to marry. I said that? I'm holding you to your word, girl. I be in the way the Lord led me. And of course, it did happen. That was April, and in August we were married. I'm just saying, pray. Just do the right thing. Stay by the old path. Stay by the old stuff. And God will bring the person into your life exactly who you're supposed to marry, who you're supposed to serve ministry with. Amen. You can trust your master. You can trust, follow his orders. You can submit to him. You can pray to him. And you can continue to wander in the wilderness with the relationships and friendships that are going nowhere and never be fulfilled and never find God's perfect will in your life. But when you submit to God and follow his perfect will, you give your life to him, God will lead him and that woman, that girl, that young man right into your life, and you'll pull up at the right time, at the right place. Here he is. The Lord gave many times through my friendship and courtship with Miss Terry. God just would give me Bible verses. God would give me, there's times that I was really discouraged about it. Like, I don't know if this girl's ever going to come around, because she's an educator. She loves education. She was just glued to her school and her responsibilities, which was good. But at the same time, I was getting ready to graduate, and I wanted to get things settled. You know how it goes. I'm just saying, look at verse number 50. When Laban, her brother in Bethuel, answered and said, this thing about Rebecca going with you, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. They knew God was in this. God gave them the family peace. And by the way, young people, if it's not the will of your parents, it's not the will of God. You say, oh, but I love him. I love her. And your mom and dad say, no, this is not the right. No. Then you say, okay, Lord, I believe God works through the parents. You may not believe that, but when you older people know what I'm talking about, say amen there. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, he found his master's son a wife. Fulfilled his master's will, and God used him and brought this young lady back successful in the journey of life. There's a group, my daughter Joanna, 10 years ago, maybe a little more, graduated from college, and many of her girlfriends, you know, found a young man at college and fell in love and they got married, but it wasn't God's will. And many of her girlfriends within a couple of years, were divorced already. Just a sad story after sad story. So she started a group called Singleness of Heart. And these girls are fundamental Baptist girls. Girls that, their slogan is, it's worth the wait. It's worth, don't waste the wait, and it's worth the wait. Just to wait on God. I've known people that, young people that didn't wait on God and totally messed it up. And God has blessed that group of girls with mission trips and different things like that. And God has blessed it because they're waiting on God. I being in the way. You know, then lastly here, Eliezer, when he found God's will, found God's mate, he said there in verse 54, send me away. Send me away. I want to go home. I want to go back to my master. Please send me back. And the thought here is he desired to go home to his master after he found the mate for Isaac. I want to go home. I just want to see my master's face. When I walk in with the drive, well, they had camels. They didn't drive in. They drove in, rode in on camels. He wanted to see Abraham's face saying, what a beautiful young girl. You look just like your mother, because it was family. You understand that back in those days you could marry within your family. Now, people marry within their family. They marry down in Kentucky. If you marry within your family, if you divorce her, she's still your cousin. But anyway. But he said, I want to see my master's face. I want to see that smile. I want to see that. I want him to see that his request was fulfilled. I want him to see in me that I fulfilled his will for my life, but the will that he had. And so that's the same with us, dear people. When we walk with God and we trust him and we follow his orders and we submit to his will, and he brings the mate into our lives that is his perfect will, one of these days, we're going to go home to the master. And he'll say, well done. When my wife and I were married, they introduced us as Mr. and Mrs. James Green. We turned around. We sang to the congregation of about 200 people, to be used of God is our desire. I'm sure you've heard the song before. To be used of God, to sing, to speak, to pray. To be used of God, to show someone the way. I long so much to feel the touch of his consuming fire. To be used of God is my desire. Then we closed it. To be used of God is our desire. And for nearly 44 years, that's been our desire, walking in God's perfect will, touching people's lives along the way. And the blessing of it is, Rebecca came home there in verse number 67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. I can say that when Terry came into my life, I was comforted after my mother's death. And to know that it was God's perfect will, and it can be for you. Think about a Jewish man, a Hebrew, taking a Gentile bride. And that's what we are as the church. We are a Gentile bride. One of these days, we're going to go home to the master. And we stand before our master. Well, I want him to say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I have three daughters that are married. Every one of them, as we were standing out in the lobby waiting to come down the aisle to give her away, and to this young man that was going to take her from us. Every one of them, as we were standing out there, Bethany was the first. She goes, Daddy, I've got a gift for you. I said, what is it, honey? She goes, my gift is me. I've kept myself pure as a promise to you and a promise to the young man down there waiting for me. Joanna did the same. Esther, she had a promise ring that I'd given her when she was 16. She slipped it off. She says, Daddy, I'm giving this promise ring back to you because I've kept myself for that young man up there. And all three of them married in God's perfect will. It's been the most precious relationships with them, and God's using every one of them in the ministry. Oh, let's find God's will. Let's stay in it till we see his face. And as we fulfill his request, just to watch him lead and see what God has done and going to do, I should say, in your lives in the days to come. It's exciting. You're in the most exciting times of your life right now. It's very important that you do it right. Find exactly what God has for you. And pray about it. Say, Lord, if this is not the right man, the right young lady, ask God to change your mind on it. And if he does, thank God for it. He says, oh, I could never lose him. I could never. God has something better. He has something better. Let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. Thank you for these fine young people. The cream of the crop. Some of the best of the nation sit before me today. And if they could just grab a hold of this thought here.